Blog Talk Radio.
A great big expression of happiness, boy, you couldn't miss. With a dozen roses, such would astound you. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. It is true. The makings of you. The righteous way to go. Little one would know or believe if I told them so. You're second to none. The love of all men should reflect some signs of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, reciting the makings of you. Believe if I told them so. You're second to none. The love of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, deciding the makings of you.
Let's cut the music. Had to come in real smooth for y'all. Had to come in real smooth with some Curtis Mayfield, The Making of You. That boy said a little bit of sugar. A little bit of brown sugar. Brown sugar. I don't want no white sugar. Brown sugar. Brown sugar, babe. Anyway, hello world, and thank you for tuning in to the Ascended Mind Show. Today's illusion is 5/28/2022, and this show is intended to invoke thought, to inspire people, to motivate people, to give you knowledge without a college, you know, because it's a lot of distractions, a lot of confusions, a lot of illusions, a lot of tricknology. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get on with the show, but I got to give disclaimers because, you know, a lot of people are, they emotional and they got a soft spot for certain things. So I got to give my disclaimers and then I speak from my position. And then, you know, you have your own mind to determine your own reality, you know, so my thing ain't to take nothing from you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting out information And for those who would gravitate with, they're going to pick it up. And for those who would don't, if it don't apply, let it fly. All right. So today I'm speaking on the Bible. Now, I'm not a big Bible person. I'm not a Bible guru. I don't even really speak about the Bible. I don't even speak about that because I feel like personally that, you know, my relationship with my God is my business. You know what I'm saying? I don't really need, feel like I need to be boasting it and all that. What that say? Okay, I see you. I see you, Mom. Mama love. Mama love in the building. So, basically, you know, I've been, you know, I grew up around the Bible, grew up in the church and all that. I read the Bible about 7 times. I done read it. I'm at a different level of comprehension now. So I'm really seeing the signs and seeing things. And, you know, I feel like I was blessed with that vision to be able to see into the fourth dimension. With that, it simplifies things in life. It simplifies the trichnology and things like that that comes your way. Now, Dylan, talking about the Bible is a real touchy subject because, like I said, people are real sensitive to that. But I'm not here to cater to anybody's feelings. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to give my perspective of, you know, what the Bible is, because right now you have 2,000 versions of the Bible, over 2,000 versions of the Bible. You have millions of interpretations of the Bible. You have thousands of preachers just preaching their perspective of the Bible, you know. So I'm going to give my perspective of the Bible. And, you know, I feel like people with the light, they're gonna have the vision, they're going to be able to see, they're going to know what it is. And other people that's adamant, stuck in their beliefs, I don't want to take your belief away from you. I don't need to add on to your belief. But when we came up, we had a acronym for the Bible, which was Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So what I want to do is I want to be able to keep this lesson basic. You know, I want to keep it basic. Like I said, I'm not a big Bible person. I don't go through the New Testament. I don't go through the Old Testament. I don't go around preaching the Bible. I don't go around looking to hear people preaching the Bible. I don't even want to hear people preaching the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Because they're coming from their perspective, and the things that they're saying is from their perspective. Not judging them. But, you know, I got to see the light. So the things that I'm going to say are allegedly, because I wasn't there personally. And if you look up, what's it called? Let me see this. If you look up the preface of 1611 translation, you got these people in here, you know, scholars that wrote a lot of these Bibles. They're saying that They wasn't there either. They're basically saying they wasn't there either. I'm going to read some stuff, and it's already out there. You can go do your own research or make your own determination, because a lot of stuff I'm saying is already out there. I'm just comprehending it, making it make sense for you. So the scholars and the people that's writing the Bibles, they saying they wasn't there. They can't really account for it. They just going off of what they heard. So I'm going off of with the information that's out here for me to see. And the information I'm hearing. So like I said, you got to keep in mind 2,000 versions of the Bible. And if you come to me with 2,000 versions of something from all over the world, I'm going to have no choice but to assume that it's been perverted. It's been tampered with. You know, for me, that's a fact. I'm not going to take 2,000 versions. I don't care what language it's in. I don't care what King James version. I don't care if it's the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Pope Testament. It's all, I feel like it's all has a possibility, a high possibility of being tampered with. So with that, I'm not going to take that on face value. I'm not going to be naive to take that on face value. Now, I also believe that within the book that it's a little bit of truth and a lot of fabrication, a lot of lies, a lot of poetry. Like somebody said, it was allegory, a lot of allegory in the Bible, you know, so that causes a lot of confusion. When people are in the Bible, they see in all type of, you know, different interpretations, different translations, a lot of contradictions, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of questions. It's a lot revolved around understanding the Bible. So people don't know what to believe and what to take true and what not. Something may resonate with them and they may think it's true. But then the whole time people are reading the Bible, they literally have a mindset of Stone Age or no technology or something. You know, they have a mindset with reading that Bible. So they don't accept it fully. They accept it under a condition of being, you know, seeing what other people do, seeing the preachers growing up in the church, somebody handing them the Bible and telling them, oh, this is the word of God. They say the Bible is the word of God. But I beg to differ on that. I beg to differ on that because I personally don't believe when you have a copywritten version of the Bible from 2017 that God had anything to do with that. I don't believe he had anything to do with that. None of these versions copywritten. First of all, when you look at copywritten material, that shows ownership and possession. When you copyright something, you're saying you own it and possess it. Look at your Bible. You got a Bible right now. Take a peek at it and see who claiming to own one of those 2,000 versions of that Bible. They're claiming ownership. See what I'm saying? So that right there is saying who the author is. That doesn't say that God is the author. But I'm going to break this down. I'm going to continue to break this down. And hopefully you can get some light and understanding this. Now, when I break this down, like I said, this don't mean go start living according to what I'm saying or abandon your belief in what you believe. I'm just saying, like, from my perspective, if they can give 2,000 versions, I can give my version. So check this out. I say in the question, what is my question? My question is this. There is only one original Bible. Don't be confused. And then I say it's time to reveal the grand illusion. And I'm going to explain why it's a big illusion. And it's pretty much self-evident. So let me read this here. The Bible has been around since the 4th century BC. There are currently 2,000 versions of it in existence today. Some of these versions include the King James Version, New International Version, New American Standard Version, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the New Revised Standard Version. All of these versions and whatnot. All right? So you're telling me that these people journeyed to the original place where the Bible was at, got the info, brought it wherever, to Europe, Israel, I don't even really care, and then brought it over here and brought it over there and brought, and then they got it over here in America now. It's all truthful and it's all sweet and dandy. You telling me that I'm going to settle for that and believe that? I'm not. But let me get to the point because I don't want to be on here too long. I just want to speak my piece and boom, and then whoever want to come in and say something, if y'all don't, then y'all don't. You know, a lot of people stay away from this topic because they got a fear and a phobia of talking about the Bible, and that's exactly what it was intended to do for whoever copywrote it. It was intended to keep you in a state of fear and control and illusion and things like that. So like I said, basic instructions before leaving there. So to keep it basic, allegedly, because I wasn't there, Moses went to the mountain, Mount Sinai or something like that, a few times, went up to the mountain. I don't even know if Moses really existed. I really don't. So went up to the mountain, and at one point he was given two tablets. Broke the two tablets, had to go back up there, get the tablets again. So according to that version, that it was said that God inscribed those with his finger, inscribed those tablets with his Ten Commandments, which was Ten Commandments on the stones. So let me ask you this question. If you have something in stone, let's say you have a tombstone and you changed that tombstone. Is that right? To change that tombstone? To change anything about that tombstone? It's not. So apparently he was given tombstones, the five books of Pentateuch, something like that, which they call the books of Torah, or something like that, which were really five scrolls. So he's given the five scrolls, he's given the two tablets, and he's given the word of God. I mean, the law, the oral law of God. So it's called the oral law of God, which they call the word of God, and the tablets which were inscribed by God, and the five scrolls, which makes up the five first books of the Bible. Let me look up what the five first books of the Bible were. Five first books of the Bible. I think it was like, okay, here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they had different names, so those are not the original names. The original names is like Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. Those were close to the original names. So he got these three things. Now, when you look at this concept, if it were true, he has the stones, the tablets, stone tablets, inscribed by God himself, which were the Ten Commandments, which is the original biblical scripture. That's the point I'm getting to. And I'm going to keep going and enlightening that. So that covers the Bible. The original biblical scripture was the Ten Commandments. So it's in stone for a reason, so that it's not tampered with. Then you have oral law of God. He gave him the oral law of God. What was the oral law of God? To obey my commandments. That was an oral law. To obey my commandments. So with that being said, where did the book of Torah come from, which is the first five scrolls of the Bible? Where did that come from? You have scholars that say that Moses scripted it himself, things like that. So now, if God gives his hand inscripted on stone, and somebody comes with a Bible, who gave the authority to pervert that stone? To say that, okay, we're going to take this and put the writings in the stone here, and then put all this other stuff here. I don't know if Moses wanted to add his twist to it based on his position. Maybe that's his position. But the word of God is not the Bible. The word of God is what was inscribed into the stones, which was the Ten Commandments. And that's the original Bible right there is what I'm saying. So I don't really care how a preacher twisted. I don't care how the Vatican twisted. I don't care how the Pope wants to twist it. You know. Now let's look at the Ten Commandments. He says he inscribed the Ten Commandments. He gave the oral law. Obey my commandments. And I say, where did the first five scrolls come from? I say they came from the doings of Moses, if this ever even existed, mind you. So the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Okay? A lot of this stuff is self-evident and speaks for itself. There shall have no other God before me. So now, you know, I may say I'm a God and things like that, but that's figuratively speaking. You know, I can't truly live by that because I can't really feel that. Maybe a demigod at best, but not a true God. I don't move mountains. I don't, You know, maybe if I get a machine or something, I can move a mountain or two with a bulldozer or something. But no other gods before me. So a person that they send that their god, it has to just be a figure of speech. You don't really mean that. You're just saying that because you want to believe that. So when that phase is being in the scroll, apparently there may have been people with other gods because it has an S on it. It's something, it's cause and effect. If something doesn't exist, then it's not created. I mean, it can be created, but if something doesn't exist, then it wouldn't be spoken on. But this here is saying you shall have no other gods. So maybe this god observed people worshiping and doing things with other gods and have another god. So, and this was for, mind you, this was for particular people that were brought out of Egypt. This wasn't for everybody. This was for particular people. When I say these things, you can literally look them up and see who it applied to. You shall make no idols. So if it's not of the scroll, I mean, if it's not of the tablet, the stone tablets, idols were made in the Bible. To be specific, the idol of Jesus was made in the Bible. You have people that's idolizing the cross. And these are not the exact words either. It's other things, but this is the simplified meaning. People idolize the image of Jesus, which was Cesare Borgia, the one of the Pope's son or something like that. So, and the Pope was one of the players who originally, or within the frame of the work of the Bible, started altering the Bible, claiming that if it was God's will to stop him, then he wouldn't be able to do it. Things like that, claiming dominion over the earth and claiming ownership of the everything living on the earth. They made these claims without your knowledge, so you don't know that they made these claims. The Torah. Yeah, the Torah. So what's happening here is they're perverting the tablets. So the tablets have been perverted into Bibles, which is not the word of God. It comes from man. That's the word and the confusion and the trichnology of man. So people worship all these idols, the cross. They worship the cross, which is, I believe, one of the most satanic images on the earth. You shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. If you're running around here praising Jesus and equating him to being reborn in God's name and all this other stuff, then you're taking that in vain because you know not what you do. When you have something in stone, it's in stone for a reason. Moses broke the stones, had to go back, get some more. It's in stone because that's what it is. But now you have these pages and different languages and different translations of this book, 2,000 versions. And which one do you believe? You're looking for an original Bible? There is no original that you can go back and find because the stones are the word of God out of his commandments. And the oral law, obey his commandment. That's the oral law. So keep the Sabbath. That's explanatory. You can look up the Sabbath. People say it's Saturday. Some people say it's Sunday. I'm not really getting into that with what people said is. Honor your father and mother. That's what it is. Some people don't. Some people do honor their father and mother. That means respect your father and mother, basically. You shall not murder. That speaks for itself. Some people have to kill people. Don't call it murder. Murder is something that's premeditated, things like that. You shall not commit adultery. That's what it is. Y'all know what that is. I ain't got to explain a lot of these things. Like I said, they self-evident. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's simple. So this is why things are so convoluted based on these Bibles. I seen Bible this thick. Bible this thick. I use it. I wouldn't read that book. I wouldn't read it. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Oh, no. You shall not steal. You know, they're stealing all the time. This, and they saying, God, we trust. They're stealing all the time. They're stealing people, stealing land, property, stealing everything, stealing your titles. They went from titles of nobility to chief. You know what I'm saying? All this. They're stealing everything. So you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. False witness all the time. That's what acquisition was about. You know, that's what acquiescence is about. You could bear false witness. If nobody rebuts it, then it stands as true. That's false witness. And you shall not covet. Y'all know what that is, covet. When you lust or desire for things like that, you know, you want what your neighbor got. You want what somebody else got. Somebody else got a nice car, house. You want that. You know, you're desiring for sex and all that. You're covenant. You're covenant. You know what I'm saying? It depends. That's a gray line right there. Cause some things are natural. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so my point is that I'm making is this. My question was, I mean, my statement was that there is only, my statement was, hold on, there is only one original Bible. Don't be confused. The grand illusion revealed. The grand illusion is all these other Bibles. The only one original Bible is what was inscribed by the word of God in stone, which is the Ten Commandments. The only oral law was to obey my commands. You know what I'm saying? So if you can't comprehend that, then you can continue to bask in the confusion of all of these pages that man wrote, that man did and said this and that. Now, otherwise, you might as well get the poking your eye out. Take that eye out. Saying that in their Bibles, take your eye out if you lust. Take your eye out. So man made their own interpretation as well, and they put it on the people. And the Bible is one of the highest selling books. I think the number's up into 5 million or something, highest published books, about 5 million books published and whatnot. So my thing is, you know, you have to see these things for what they are. You have to simplify them. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. And that's my piece right there. You know, so if anybody feel like they want to come in and hit me with some Bible scriptures, I wouldn't mind hearing it. I'm not opposed to it. You know what I'm saying? Because then that'll be your position. But like I said, the separation of the illusion is from the scroll, from the, not the scrolls, from the tablet, the stone tablets to the written Bible. I don't care if it was written by the Hebrews. I don't care if it was written by the Israelites, written by the Jamaicans, written by the Africans, written by the Englishmen, the Americans. I don't care who wrote what. If it's not in stone, it has nothing to do with God's word. It's not in the stone. If it's not on the tablet, which is Ten Commandments, you should not have no other God before him. You should not make idols. You made Jesus your idol. You should not you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You take the name in vain by claiming Jesus and Krishna and Buddha and all, whatever other gods you want to claim. But I don't know the name of the God, but that's what the God is saying. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your mother and father. Respect your mother and father. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. You should not covet. All right? So study those things. Study what they entail. Learn your real Bible and the real word of God and decipher the confusion. I'm not saying don't read it, because I may use a Bible quote, and that's out of just reference from that book. That's not saying that, oh, I believe this quote. It may say something that I feel can make a point, so I'm going to use it. That's from any book. That's from any article, anywhere. If I feel something going to make a point, I'm going to use it. So it's not saying that it's not stuff in there that sound good, that may seem like it connects with you. I'm just saying the separation is between the tablet, the stone tablet, and the Bible. The Bible is the illusion. The reality is the stone tablet inscribed with the word of God. That's my piece. Let me go ahead and take a little break. I'm going to take a little break, and then I'm going to go ahead and take some callers, or anybody, if anybody got something to say, the call-in number, you're going to call in. If you got something to say, You're going to call in 515-605-9749. You're going to press the 1. Now, I'm hearing crickets because I know somebody got something to say about their Bible. I want to hear what you got to say, and I'm sure other people want to hear it too. Are you going to defend this? Are you going to deny this, rebut this? Are you going to counter this? Are you going to say something like, no, this is the Bible. This is the true Bible. Are you going to read between the lines? Now, why ain't this thing work? Are you going to read between the lines and see that the only word of God was inscribed into the tablets, the stone tablets? It don't say in the stone tablets, obey the five books of Torah, the scrolls. It don't say in the tablet to obey the scrolls. I'm not seeing that in there. I see in there obey. I see in there to make no idols. Where did Jesus come from? That's an idol. With that being said, let me take this little break and I'll be right back. And I'm going to bring you on in to speak your peace. And I ain't trying to argue with you. I'm just telling what it is. So you take that up with the Pope if you feel like it's a conflict.
So much problem with my so-called friends. Problem with the girl I love. Only for them we said them no back on. Them never know the place I was. People we know the real struggle me feel. Are people like Speed and Cuz. This music beat is like a battle to me. So much fucking hatred and grudge. But in the midst of all his enemies, try to keep him firm and strong. Bad mind and jealousy just get me peace. Try to keep him firm and strong, yeah. Give me the energy we need. Try to keep him firm and strong. And really keep winning by any means, yeah. Try to keep him firm and strong, yeah. Strong already. Strong already, you know. Strong already. Strong already. Strong already, you know. Me no friendly with the media. Everyone already know. Some people can believe everything them keep on TV. Everything them hear on radio.
I'ma cut it. He said people believe everything they see and hear. Come on now. Come on now, what we falling for? What we falling for? What do we believe? See, that's the thing when people know, you know, when they know how vulnerable the mind is and how gullible the mind is and how they can create this reality for you, they're going to put you in the box and they're going to keep you in the box. And guess what? Nobody coming to save you. So even if you believe something that you swear by, it could be a false belief. It could be based on something that you were conditioned to believe. And that's a fact. That's a fact, and that's four-dimensional thinking. But let me go to the call lines. I'm going to bring somebody in, and we're just going to see what it is. You know what I'm saying? 716901. Peace.
Yes, so I just wanted to come in and share my experience.
Okay, let me ask you this. Before you share your experience, are you ordained preacher, minister, or something like that? Any of that?
No.
Okay, you're not. All right, go ahead.
No. So I heard you mention in like Moses and the tablets, and so, and then like feeling like the
let me
ask you what you said. Like,
let me ask you this. Moses and the tablets, is that not written in the scriptures?
Moses did write on the tablets. So it is mentioned.
Oh, wait, hold on. So you said Moses wrote on the tablet?
Moses wrote on the tablet?
You said Moses wrote on the tablet?
Yes.
Oh, whoa.
Let me look.
Don't call in if you ain't got it together now. You said Moses wrote the tablets. And this say in the scriptures that God
Moses
inscribed the tablets. So we off to the wrong foot already. What we doing?
Right. That does sound better that God inscribed on a tablet.
No, I'm listening.
But my thing is,
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, right. And so I'm still learning. So I'm just speaking on like the idea that like helped me. And so like if Moses, okay, so we're saying that God inscribed on a tablet and Moses was there. And it's also said that Moses created Genesis and he was able to witness, like there's accounts with Adam, Shem, Isaac, Jacob. And like, so those inspired stories came, he combined them stories in Genesis. So what I'm getting at is if you can confirm Moses existed, then why is it that the remainder of the Bible doesn't have value? Just because of what was in stone.
Let me ask you this. See, I didn't say it didn't have value, but let me ask you this. If you go read a law book, if you a lawyer and you read a law book, does that law book have value to your life and your cause, what you're doing?
Well, it's just like going to school, like everything you taught, you don't use.
If you want to be a scientist and you reading a book on science, does that science book have value to your life as a scientist?
If it's giving me information on being a scientist, it would have value.
It has value, right. I never said it didn't have value for what people believe in it, because the book is based on belief. It's based on a system of belief. That's the foundation of it. What I'm saying is that it's not the word of God. That's what I'm saying. It only says that God.
What makes you say it's not the word of God?
Because it says that God inscribed on the tablets, the two tablets, with his finger, the word of God and the oral law. It said it was in stone. The oral law. If anybody takes interpretation of that stone and write it down in the Bible, wherever they want to write it, that what they wrote right there is not the word of God that he gave. That's like if somebody remake your movie. If you make a movie, it's not the original.
Right.
The remake. Go ahead.
So if you want to be specific and say it's the word of God, then maybe like word for word, it may not be the word of God, but it's inspired. Like the message is inspired of God, like how we're to be.
That's hearsay. If you say something, and somebody comes say it to me, is it your word? Did it come from you? Or did it come from them from you?
So all the accounts don't come directly from God, but there's a message in it that brings you to God or back to God.
I didn't say it wasn't no message in it. I'm just saying that all of these other versions is not the word of God like they saying it is, because it's hearsay. I'm just saying it's not coming. Go ahead.
My thing on the versions is the reason there is so many versions to an extent is because, like, you got versions where it's almost like Shakespeare time or, like, Old English. And so, like, how would we connect to it if it's not in our language? And so being in the United States speaking English is translated in English so I can comprehend it and connect to it.
Okay, so now let me ask you this question. It's going to be two. Do you believe that the book was based solely on translation? Now, do you believe that somewhere out of these over 2,000 versions that the book was somehow perverted and changed up from its original concept? Do you believe that everything stayed pure and intact, or somewhere along there it was perverted?
I feel like along the lines it could be perverted, unfortunately.
The old version set the standard degree. Okay, draw the line for me. Do you believe it was or do you believe it wasn't? Like, out of your belief,
okay,
do you believe 2,000 versions, over 2,000 versions, that every version was pure or that somebody tampered with it along the line and made up what they want to make up for their purpose, depending on the country or the demographic where they were located? Or do you believe that everything is pure, that all up until this point until it got to you?
It'll be hard for me to answer because I never really read, like,
answer that based on information, then how could you answer the stuff within the Bible if it's based on belief? So you have information before you. You have the scholars and all of the people that's that's noting this, saying that it's over 2,000 versions. The Vatican, everybody else, all the informational sources that you're getting it from originally, the scholars, they saying that it's over 2,000 versions. So you can't, you don't know if it's true or false, if it was tampered with. So how can you take something out of those Bible scriptures and say whether it's true or false? It's all based on belief.
Well, of course, like, you know, when things is being translated, words may get switched out. Like, there's certain names that aren't mentioned, then changed. Like, you get Yahweh, then you get Jehovah, then you get...
Words in the Bible from the original text all the way until now has been switched out and changed up. Is it your position that some things are
I do believe some words were changed.
So you're saying the Bible is pure, only the words were changed. The whole Bible out of 2,000 versions, every 2,000 versions of these Bibles are all pure, only the words were changed. That's what you're saying. That's what I asked you the first time.
Okay, so being that I haven't read all the Bibles, I couldn't say, but I will feel like,
do you feel like the 2017 copywritten version that you read is untampered with and pure? 2017, that's only 5 years ago. You feel like that's the word of God from an author 5 years ago, untampered?
I feel like it's untampered.
You feel like it's untampered?
I don't feel like it's misleading me.
Okay, so you feel like it's tampered with. It's been tampered with. So if something has been tampered with, whether you feel like it's misleading, it's misleading.
I don't feel like it's misleading.
Okay, so what do you mean when you say that you don't feel like it's misleading?
I feel like its translation was to genuinely reach me and not to cover up the truth of the Bible. Like, I don't feel like much of it was changed.
Which Bible? 2,000 versions. Which Bible?
I read the New World Translation Bible.
Okay, now, is that the Word of God?
You could call it the Word of God.
Is that the Word of God or not?
It's the inspired Word of God. Inspired Word of God.
But you just said it was tampered with, though. So how can it be the Word of God if it's tampered with?
Unfortunately for me to interpret it, it had to be translated. But like far as tamper, like it legit, like I don't think the intention
if they saying that God inscribed in the tablets his Ten Commandments, what are you interpreting other than the Ten Commandments? Especially if it came from way back 3,500 years ago or so. What are you interpreting?
That could set the standard degree, but there's more than just the Ten Commandments.
Gave authorization to add more than the Ten Commandments. I need to know this. Do you know?
And who gave authorization to add more?
To add more than the Ten Commandments.
Who gave authorization? I don't feel like there had to been an authorization necessarily.
Okay.
I feel like it was different. Like, just like you had the prophets and apostles, like they were given experiences to continue to inspire the Word of God. And it's not like it's like physical. I mean, it's physical people, but it wasn't like people like the authors, like people who's writing the Bible who wrote these stories. These stories were from people who originated during these times.
So that's the thing. Up until it got to your plate, if it was tampered with, then that's an issue. For me personally, that's an issue. If I order food out the kitchen, and by the time that food gets to me, somebody spit in it or did something to it, I don't want it. I can't eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If I know that somebody spit in my food, I'm not going to eat it. If I know that I'm supposed to get this version, I got to go back to the source. And at the source, it says, inscribed in stone, Ten Commandments, the law, the oral law was obey my commandments. It didn't say obey the Bibles, obey the prophets, obey this, obey that, obey my commandments. So in my mind, everything outside of those commandments is perverted, whether it's inspiring or not. I don't need to get inspired, but I can go back to the commandments and get my inspiration like they did.
I can understand what you're saying to an extent, but like to say that is tampered and to not feel like the other accounts in the Bible don't You didn't say it don't matter, but to me, I'm getting the perception that you're saying it don't matter when you're just only relying on the Ten Commandments. But I feel like you can see the truth in the Bible from the prophecies and the things foretold that were written years ago, years before our existence, that are now happening and coming to light. So is this coincidence, or is this because of the God which inspired these things to be written so that we can be forewarned, because there is a God and a higher power who foreseen these things and forewarned us in these words?
Okay, when you say the Bible, first of all, it's over 2,000 versions of it, no matter what language it's in. It's even a couple hundred versions in America. You know what I'm saying? You got the kings that was making their Bibles. He wasn't inspired by Moses, probably. You got other people. You got all types of people making Bibles. And when you're dealing with the pattern of humans, it's only a certain amount of things that they can do. You can pretty much say, hey, somebody's going to get in a car accident today, and today somebody will get in a car accident, a lot of people. So who's to say that the prediction of pattern that you can't call it out? That happens all the time. Just because you see it in the Bible doesn't mean that that's the word of God. Well, I'm talking about what's the word of God, the original Bible, the original stones and tablets that said, where he said the oral law was obey my commandments. That was the oral law. And like I said, the oral law don't say obey my, it don't say obey my Bible, obey the Bible, obey this, obey the Torah. It don't say none of that. So I'm not going to confuse myself with putting that weight on me saying, I got to believe this, I got to believe that, because it sound real. Of course, you can make something sound real to a child. You could write a children's book and put it out to a child, and if they grow up reading it, it's going to sound very real to them. So what I'm saying, if you said that it's perverted, you said that it was perverted some type of way before it got to you, I'm saying it's not the word of God. You said, go ahead.
No, I was just asking myself, did I say it was perverted? Because I shouldn't say it was perverted, but I just understand. I understand, like, when I say perverted, I understand that some words, like, when it comes to the name of God, it's been different names mentioned, but that can also be just
his name
in vain. You're
going to accept that? It says in the tablets, it says right here, you shall not take the name of thy, of the Lord your God in vain. If they saying Jesus is the one that they using him in relation to him, and that's taking that in vain. If he gives scrolls, if he didn't give an amendment to these scrolls and say, hey, here goes some more scrolls that say you can do this now, who gave people authority to change and make up what they want to make up? And I'm sure from my study, it was Roman lawyers that was changing it, using it as a vice, and sure other people was using it as a vice. You know what I'm saying?
But that's when it's preached, it's used as advice. That's why a lot of people don't believe, due to the people who give their perspective of what they interpret of the Bible. It's different perspectives of what, when you read it, how you interpret it,
so,
and that's what it's preached.
You're saying that when people preach it, that they give their interpretation, and is it perverted or is it the truth?
When people preach it, I feel like it's perverted. Like, I feel like they try to soften
Yes, so
what the truth.
Now you said
is
all
true.
Of it is perverted. You said the Bible was perverted.
Okay. I don't feel the Bible is perverted. I feel the names have been different. But it can also, the way I interpret it is almost like a language thing. So like how you could say hi in Spanish, like hola, but I'm still saying hi.
Hey,
you got
already.
Yahweh and you got Jehovah, but
1 second. You said that already, but you just repeated yourself, but you said that it was tampered with also. You didn't say only the language. You said it was tampered with.
Now,
by being tampered with, so it's not pure. It's not pure. So you go back to the original.
Well, of course, when you're dealing with people.
But go back to the tablets. What are the Ten Commandments?
Oh,
okay. You don't have to say them offhand. Right, I got them right here. Ten Commandments.
Okay,
what
I
they,
know like the.
Who they say inscribed the Ten Commandments?
Who inscribed them?
Yeah, into the stones.
So we say God inscribed them.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Who they saying inscribed the Ten Commandments into the stone?
God. God inscribed them, and Moses, I believe, is who delivered them, like who showed them or brought attention to them.
Okay, who inscribed, that's what I'm asking, who inscribed those into the stones?
God.
Are we clear on that, right?
Yeah.
What was the oral law of God?
When you say oral law, I'm not understanding.
Oral law,
the word of God?
Spoken law, like spoken law. What was the, do you know the oral law of God?
No.
So what did he say to Moses?
The commandments?
He didn't read the commandments to Moses, did he?
No.
He inscribed them. He said, obey my commandments. That was the oral law. Obey my commandments.
Okay.
And what did Moses do? What did Moses bring the people also?
The commandments.
And what else?
And delivered them.
He brought them the Torah, which is the scrolls, the five scrolls. Nowhere in the commandments does it mention the five scrolls.
Nowhere in the commandments does it mention the five scrolls.
It's self-evident. It's self-evident. It doesn't mention the five scrolls. It doesn't. Nowhere in the oral law did it say obey the five scrolls, which is the first five books of the Bible. Nowhere does it say that.
So, of course, I mean, like, it's up to you to obey what's in the Bible, but in general, to you want to, I feel like, at least I should say, I feel like the purpose was to teach us to imitate Jesus, and
okay, it says
after,
it says there is no other God before me, you shall make no idols.
Yeah, there isn't no idols. Jesus isn't an idol.
So people don't idolize Jesus. People don't idolize Jesus with his images, with the cross. People don't idolize.
People idolize Jesus.
Answer this question. Do people idolize Jesus and idolize the cross in other religious books and Bibles and everything? Okay.
Yeah.
Now wait. It says here. It says here in the Ten Commandments in stone, thou shalt make no idols. There should be no other God before me. So, who made that idol? The Bible, that idol comes from the Bible.
But the people did that. It wasn't the Bible who did that. The Bible didn't say to do that. People did that.
The people made the Bible. You think God made the Bible?
But it wasn't directed for people to go and make jewelry of Jesus or to make a cross and worship the cross.
Let me ask you this. If the Bible is copywritten from 2017, you think God made that Bible or people made that Bible?
But it's just like how times change and you have to...
If God inscribed the word in stone that said Ten Commandments and all this other added stuff in the Bible that man made, do you think that God has something to do with that?
Will everybody be able to interpret the original Bible? Will everybody be able to... I mean, they could have copied it, but like some reason, apparently it wasn't. But everybody wouldn't have been able to interpret that, nor...
There's so much stuff in between that people can't realize the source, the origin. So they want to fluff everything in between and want to accept everything in between. Well, that was back then. If something is in stone and it's saying, obey my commandments, it don't say nothing else about adding nothing or putting this on there. Every person still
can accept that origin. But Moses was the one who did the first book, and as I said, he combined things of other people. And, of course, like during the fourth millennium B.C., that's when the clay tablets was, but then times changed and there was writing. Writing did come about.
Right, which he didn't. Moses didn't change. He didn't do nothing with the word of God in stone. He broke it, but then he had to come back and get another one. But he didn't do nothing with the – that's people's perception of what they believe in. They're not seeing – what was written. They're not seeing that. They want to believe whatever they want to fill in the
blank. Are you saying the other accounts don't, aren't true because it wasn't in stone?
I'm saying that those are not the word of God. I'm saying that all the way up until now, it's been some type of perversion to it, whether it was used for some type of cause for to conquer people, to confuse people. I'm saying it's been added on. The Pope has been well known to add to the Bible and alter the Bible. The Pope has been well known. You don't believe that the Pope alters the Bible?
I don't support the Pope, but I also don't believe
The Pope claims ownership over you. So if he sees you as his property, you don't matter whether you support him or not. If the Bible is authored somehow, one way or another, through the government, through the Pope, then
but you know what? It's
you. So they already have your control. They have your attention.
Maybe my flesh, but you know what? I feel like, dang, I kind of lost my thought, but I feel like...
your thought because you still not you not acknowledging the scrolls, the word of God, which he said was inscribed, which they say was inscribed with his finger. You're not acknowledging that at all.
I acknowledge that, and I acknowledge the tablets and the scrolls, but I'm just saying, like, I feel the other accounts do exist, and they were written, and when we say the word of God, it was inspired by the word of God. Some of these, like
the
prophets
was
because the power of God.
How can you say for certainty that that was inspired by the word of God? How can you say that?
Because some of the abilities that were mentioned in the accounts, like how people were able to foretell dreams and like some of the prophecies, things mentioned, like had to been with God's help in order for us fleshly people to have these abilities. And like it's like years before our time.
Anywhere in the Bible where it say that what you just said, that God's help, that God helped them foresee the dreams and things like that. It says that in the Bible. Does it say anywhere that in the scrolls? I mean, not in the scrolls, in the tablets.
Yeah, I won't be able to speak for the scrolls. No, I don't say it in the scrolls or in the tablets. You know.
How can that be God's word, though? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, how? I don't understand. I don't see the correlation.
So maybe I need to think on it a little more. But, like, I shouldn't say that. I just feel like.
Until you got that book in front of you, have you studied the history of anything related to religion, anything related to the origin of the Bible, the scriptures, the 2,000 versions? Have you studied any of that history or anything, any topic, right, before you start reading that book?
No.
So you just took that book on face value, not even caring where it came from, just whatever you feel resonate with you. I'm not trying to say nothing.
I'm not trying to be rude.
So
I have did the King James Version, and when I was exposed to the New World Translation, I was able to interpret more.
You say King James Version, that means that King James has something to do with authoring that Bible. Now,
yeah, I couldn't interpret it that well.
I don't know the history on King James. You know, I don't know his character, but I do know that King James is not God. And he cannot inscribe the word of God.
No.
I do know that. So I do know that's just another man, if he even existed. That's just another man that put out another version out of the 2,000 versions from his perspective. I do know that according to what it's saying, the word of God was inscribed in the stones. So that only leaves me to believe that the original message was in stone. And everything else was an add-on.
For religious monarchs.
That's just my point. I'm just saying, like, it might sound fluffy and good. It might sound like it's a lot of stuff going on in there. It could be. But I'm just saying that could be what man observed and what man know to be. Just to say it, they were given free will to do what they will, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
But
I'm not saying that it's not people. I personally seen people that can tell dreams and tell predictions and
prophecy. Yeah, I mean, some people still do.
I've seen people prophesize. But what I'm saying is, according to that message, that ain't the word of God.
Why wouldn't it be the word of God? What determines it being the word of God?
Determines if God is saying that he inscribed this and follow my, obey my commands.
But he also spoke through other people, and it was said that to see Jesus was to see God, being that
anybody
he sent the most times.
Anybody could write a book and say God spoke to me. That's hearsay. Anybody could do
that. I can wake up and see that too.
I could write 100 books, and when this whole generation gone, that book going to circulate, and them people going to think I spoke to God.
So for me, it's about what I'm connected to and what I feel, and I feel like it's a lot of truth. And like I said, like when we look at the prophecies in there and the forewarnings, and then I just don't feel like it's anything wrong in the Bible. It's not there to mislead you. If we was to obey a lot of the things it said, we would really avoid a lot of self-harm.
So people obey the...
I don't think it's like a wrong...
People obey the commandments and they still receive harm. People go up in churches when they obey the commandments and they get killed.
By people.
What how else you expect them to get killed? Some people
I'm not saying by following you're not gonna die, because we all gonna die at some point.
All right, some people get killed by storms. Some people get killed by, they get hurt, killed, whatever.
We're all going to die.
Of course, that's evident. But as far as what's the information before you is convoluted. And you saying a few different things, so you contradicting yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm not contradicting myself. I'm probably just saying it is.
You agree that the Bible, you agree that the Bible was perverted in some type of manner or tampered with.
Let me look at what perverted means and tampered. Because obviously it's not from the old version. When I agree to it being tampered, it's because it's not from the old version word from word. And with the language also being changed, that's why I changed words too.
So here we go. What's the old version? Do you know the old version?
I never read the old version.
You never read the old version?
No.
So how can you make a conclusion based on the old version to the new version and you never read the old version?
Because we have articles that state that the old version set the standard. And so for the versions to be created, there's references on where certain articles came from. But
okay.
Being that I didn't read it, no, I don't know. But I feel like at the end of the day, there's nothing in there that is to mislead me or to do harm to me that I should feel that I shouldn't.
So in the Bible, it says if your eye causes you to sin, take it out. Do you have both your eyes? Have you sinned?
Yeah. And let me see what you're referring to, too.
Yeah, what?
I sinned.
Both your eyes?
And I have both my eyes.
So why have you not taken your eye out?
Because when Jesus came to earth, we no longer had to follow his old practices. We had to imitate Jesus, and we were made forgiven.
You shall make no idols. There shall be no other
gods.
You shall make, that's in the tablet. You shall make no idols.
I don't have any images of Jesus in my house.
So why are people praying to Jesus?
That's by choice, to pray to Jesus. At the end of the day, the intention is that they're actually praying to God, I would assume.
So you're claiming
in Jesus' name, amen.
Your claim is to know everybody's intention.
Well, I don't know. But I don't know. But I know we're forgiven through Jesus.
Hold on. So you just literally spoke for everybody's intentions. See, that's where...
No, I don't know.
That's where you just said that. You said you can only personally know your own intention, unless other than what somebody tells you, and that's still
good. Yeah, so I should say I should say I. So I say Jehovah, and I say who I'm praying to. I don't say, well, I would ask Jesus for things too, because he is a source of power as well, but obviously the overall is.
Okay. You shall have no other God before me. You shall make, this is allegedly inscribed from the finger of God. You shall have no other God before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not use the Lord thy God name in vain. So who is Jesus? That's his son?
His son.
Okay,
his
so Mary, right? That's what they said in the Bible. Came from Mary, the virgin. That don't even sound right.
He was placed in the virgin
who already had a husband, I believe. Is it something like that? How'd that go?
So are you underestimating what God can do?
How
would he be God if he wasn't able to do miraculous things?
I'm not underestimating the tablets, which is the oral law, obey my commandments. I'm not underestimating the commandments. Now, when you get into the Bible, I'm saying that's no correlation.
Does the commandment say to take your eyeball out?
I just read the commandments to you. I just read them.
Yeah, so I know it's the scripture which you was referring to, but on that, like, once Jesus came to earth and he died for our sins, we no longer had to be under the old laws, like throwing the blood over doors.
You're saying that when Jesus came to earth, scrapped the commandments.
No, I'm not saying scrap the commandments. I'm saying, like, the drastic things you're referring to, we were forgiven, so we don't have to go to the extent of those practices. You basically are, now you pray and changing the way you live in the sense of repentance, not to have to do those drastic things.
So what I'm saying is now, you saying that because of Jesus came, scrap the old law. That's what you just said. Scrap the old
law. No, I'm not saying scrap the old law. I'm saying you don't have to do those things anymore.
You saying that
after
the Bible
came,
the law. You saying that the Bible is the law.
The Bible is the law.
Is the Bible the law?
The Bible the law.
You just said. We're a little all over the place with this, but anyway, I definitely respect your position. I ain't taking nothing away from you. I'm just trying to clarify. So
yeah,
the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, and I'm still learning.
Thou shalt make no idol. No idols.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not take the Lord, your God, name in vain. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
You said people worship the cross and idol the cross. You said they worship Jesus and idol Jesus. You said that. Jesus came from the Bible. Jesus came from the Bible. They said there was a lot of other scholars around that time, and none of them ever write about Jesus.
During what time?
It's no others. So if somebody was influenced by Jesus, it's no other writings about Jesus anywhere documented in the Library of Congress anywhere.
All right, I could try and see if I could find out if there's anything backing to explain Jesus coming about.
I mean, even if they say he came about, it says right here in the written in stone.
But you're only referencing the stone tablets. There were times after that. They after clay tablets for the scrolls to be about, they had to been able to be writing. So there had to be
basic instructions before leaving Earth. It doesn't mention the scrolls in the tablets.
It's not just what was in stone. If there were scrolls, they had to have been other writings. Eventually, times changed from BC, and there were writings, not just tablets.
Even in the oral law, it doesn't say obey the scrolls. It doesn't say obey the scrolls in the oral law, but it does say make no idols. Don't use the God name in vain. No other God before him. It does say that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go with my discernment on this one.
Yes, what you feel connected.
I'm going to see things for what I believe they are and what I see in math. You know what I'm saying? If you got a Bible copy written in 2017, that is what it is. I can't be fooled with that one. I'm sorry, it ain't happening. And it's in an English version, in the Friendly version, in the King James version, the New Testament, Old Testament version.
How would I be able to comprehend it if it wasn't? And again, I don't feel like anything that is written in there is to harm me.
This is the thing. Like I said, if I have a relationship with my God, that's me and my God's relationship. I'm not letting no Bible between that. I'm not letting anything. I'm not letting what man perverted come in between that. I'm going to
see. How did you find your relationship with God? How did you come about having a relationship?
My relationship is not with the Bible. I didn't find my God in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? I asked. I did certain meditations and prayers, and I asked. And I was guided through what I was asking for. Things were happening that I saw that I asked for, and it wasn't material possession. If I asked for unmistakable signs and things like that, I've seen some supernatural things that right at the time that I asked for, I was able to see these supernatural things, which led me to my
supernatural. So the same thing is with Jesus being born from Mary, a virgin, supernatural. God is a miraculous God.
What I'm saying is that Jesus was only created that from what I know in the Bible. I'm a living, breathing man right now at this moment. You know what I'm saying? And if I exist, so that makes me no different from anybody else on this planet that existed. Anybody. That makes me no different. Whether the language is different now or whether what's different now, the thing is I'm talking about the illusion within these writings and the perversion within these writings and the misconnection. I'm saying that God inscribed into these stones the word of God. And anything outside of that is the word of man. Anything outside of that, the translation of I don't know how you get this big thick book out of these Ten Commandments.
Because there were other, like you had the apostles and the prophets that wrote stories, accounts of things they witnessed, like Moses wrote Genesis.
Okay, but God didn't say that he gave authority to write those stories. That was based on their free will, what they wanted to do if they did that.
How is it free will when at the end of the day it's bringing light to the kingdom, which talks about God and brings you to God?
Who says it's bringing light? To who? Light to who?
It bring light to me. It basically tells you, for me, it tells you, it gives you experiences of decisions people make in society.
When you say it, what is it? What gives you? What is it?
The Bible. The Bible gives you.
The 2017 version that you have.
Yeah, 2017.
You also said that it was tampered with. You said that. So how do you distinguish what's tampered with and what's not? Based on your feelings?
I don't say tamper in the sense. I don't feel like it's tamper in the sense that there's.
You can't keep recanting what you said. You don't know the intentions of these people and what they intended to do with the tampering of that.
But from what I've seen with the versions of the Bible I read, the message is common and the same. The only thing that I've witnessed to be different is some of the terms used in the name of God that was used.
So they even using God's name in vain? You just said that just now. So they changing how they want it, which it says, y'all should not take the name in vain. Take the Lord, your God, name in vain. It says it in the tablets.
What's wrong with saying his name? What makes it in vain to say his name?
If I see that, I'm going to refer to the tablets and say, hey, they're using that in vain. Hey, they created an idol. I see the cross of Jesus as an idol.
Right. Now that I don't agree with, like with the cross and Jesus and thinking that, like, having that is, like, what should protect you. That's, like, giving material possessions power and making that your God instead of who's actually God, relying on material things.
Can you, based on your experience, distinguish what's tampered with in the Bible and what's not tampered with? Can you read that Bible? Can you know? Can you read some and say, oh, that's tampered with? Or can you read some and say, that's not tampered with?
Being that I never read the original version, at the end of the day, I probably won't really know tampered. I just know from what I have read with different versions, I have seen and came to see that the name of God has been changed and certain terms has changed. Like, you got versions where it's ye, then you got the more English, present-day English, which is the version I have with the World English, New World Translation. It's more easy for me to comprehend.
So who is given authority to do all these changes with the Word of God, if that's the Word of God? Who's given authority? Or is man just doing what they can because they can? I'm talking about the changes. I ain't talking about nothing else. Just when they change it, when it comes off of the original text, because if it changed and you got something that you know changed and you can see that it was different from something else, it could have been different from the one before that. So within there, that's confusion right there alone, because now you have all these different meanings and messages, and words have different meanings in themselves. So now it's like,
It can make confusion, but I feel like
in that confusion, it can also be misleading.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like overall the intent.
The Bible misleads you is what you just said. The Bible misleads you.
I said it don't mislead me. I don't feel like it misleads me or caused me any harm. I feel like it's to protect me from self-harm. But like, if I avoid certain decisions.
The Bible can't cause you harm. The Bible can't cause you harm unless you get hit with one. Heavy one.
No,
but
I mean, the Bible can't cause me. I'm saying, like, the things in it. Like if you're saying basically me following certain things.
It says in the Bible, and it says a lot of other things too. It says in the Bible, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. So why you still have your eyes?
Because
you don't believe it.
Jesus came to earth, I can be forgiven when I repent or live differently. I don't have to cut my eye out.
Because you don't want to cut your eye out.
And I don't have to. I'm forgiven.
Okay.
When
I
act.
All right, I'm ready.
And when I live differently.
Right.
But I wanted to say, I can't say who gave authority for there to be different translations, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak what their intentions was when they made the different translations. But it would make sense that there's so many translations so that it can get out and that people can connect to it in their tongue and their language.
If it makes sense that there's so many translations, you saying the translations is based on different languages. Why is there so many translations of the English language in America then?
Because it's not just English in America.
No. We talk about English in America. Now, if they want a Chinese translation, it's going to be in China. They don't got no Chinese translation.
I can get you different languages Bibles in this version that I have. There's more. There's like so many. I don't know how many exactly to be specific, but it's definitely a number of languages we have in this New World Translation Bible.
The language has nothing to do with the point that I'm making, because if you get something to a symbol, like let's say you get a bike and it got Spanish definitions on the back and English on the front, that don't have nothing to do with it. I'm not saying about the language. That's evident that they change in languages so people can read it. If they want to confuse somebody, they may got to put it in the language to reach them. If it ain't in
the
language.
The stories, and like I said, the message is always the same. That's one thing that haven't changed. Like, just like everybody knows about Adam and Eve, or you know about Jesus.
Here we go. You literally just said about 5 years ago that the message changed. You just said that.
I said the name of God changed. Like, you have Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, like that changes.
If you change somebody's name, if your name is what your name is, somebody changed it to Stacy, that's not change. That's not completely different. You supposed to, somebody's supposed to meet you at Stacy and interpret what your name used to be and what it meant, what it was? Or is that not a complete change?
You know what I mean?
Is that not
and
a
I feel like when that happens, that is what causes controversy and division, which is
hold on.
Which I would say,
if you put on an application a whole different name other than the name that the government gave, is that not deception?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so what,
and when I say tamper, that's what I refer to as tamper. I don't feel like the accounts or like the stories.
So
aren't
true. If your name is changed, then it's like you lost. Like nobody would ever know now if your name is changed. How can somebody find you? They gotta wait to see your face.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's unfortunate, and that's what causes division.
All right, so man, you can't determine what's changed and what's not in the Bible. You can't determine what's real and what's not. You can only believe what you believe. You want to believe according to what you experience.
Right, and I believe.
Okay, so a lot of other people feel that way. They may feel that way too. That the Bible has been tampered with. You just said yourself that it's been tampered with because you said they changed the name. Not only did they change the name, you didn't only say a name, you said other words as well. So if it's coming from here,
yeah.
2,000 versions, and you have an authority over that, you have somebody that copywrote it, claiming ownership, it's a lot of different stuff in that Bible that's not the same from the ones before, say different things. So now I'm going back to to what God inscripted into the stone, the Ten Commandments, the oral law, obey my commandments. All that other stuff is hearsay. That's all I'm saying. And for me, that's self-evident. All that Jesus stuff, if the God is saying, make no idols, don't use his name in vain, no God before him, I just want to know who allowed Jesus, who wrote Jesus into that script, who wrote, but Jesus were written into your life. He was written.
Well, that's
that
what people do. People took it to the length of making him a necklace and making crosses and things of that sort, which that I don't agree with, and that is making idols and basically worshiping material things and making that almost like your higher power. So that I don't agree with, but I feel like
there shall be no other God before me.
So who's the other God? Because I only have one.
Okay, and who is that?
Jehovah.
Who is Jehovah?
God.
Jesus?
No. Jesus is his son. But Jesus is my help too. He's
right.
Just another source for me.
And where did you learn about Jesus at?
In the Bible.
Okay. All right. I understand. I get it. I ain't taking nothing from you. You keep believing and just, you know.
I am.
Absolutely. What you laughing at? What's funny? I want to laugh too. But no, I appreciate you definitely calling in and, you know, it's a gray area. It's a fence. Some people, that's why I know what I'm saying is a gray area as well, because people are adamant about the Jesus. They adamant about the Bible. They adamant about a lot of things. But I'm saying when it comes to the word of God, it says it was inscribed into the stone, and nobody, I believe, had authority to change what was in the stone and alter and make their own hearsay opinion and whatever else. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's like you can do a motivational book and somebody's going to be inspired by it. So, I mean, that's not to say discredit things that are in the Bible, but I say if people believe in the Bible, the eye calls you to sin, take your eye out. That's what I say. Because when you believe in something, you know, you go to bat for it. So take your eye out. Don't make excuses why you don't want to take your eye out, because your eyes are beautiful. Take your eye out.
But also, I could change that, and I think that's what, like I said, preachers do, like the interpretation. And I get a message out of that too, which I appreciated that. And I don't wish I did because I don't have the courage to take my eye out. But I feel like that makes a lot of sense because our eyes cause us to stumble when we see things. That's how these emotions of envy and lust and things come about, is because what we see.
Take that eye out. You're going to stumble. All right, take that eye out. Go ahead.
So
if a man in 2017 wrote a Bible, and that's the word of God, hey, to each his own. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to stay with the stones. I'm going to stay with the stones, you know what I'm saying, and the oral law. Obey my commandments.
Yeah. I mean, all right. I guess.
You want to say anything else? I'm about to bring somebody else in. You can stay on here. You ain't got to go nowhere.
Yeah, I'm stay and listen. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, too. I appreciate you.
No problem.
All right. 716-940. Let's go.
Peace, brethren.
Eulis. Peace, brethren. All right, my guy. You talked about, I'm going to let you go ahead and just kick it because we already hashed it out. So anything you want to add or any position you want to take?
I would say with that whole subject, it get kind of tricky. Now, when you saying the commandments, now, and then she's saying, when Jesus came, all that changed. Actually, according to, the scripture, when Jesus came, he came to reinforce the law. The law is what was written in commandments, according to the story.
Not to change anything, not to alter anything. Hold on. Can you say that again?
But to reinforce the law.
Hey, could you say that again, please?
When Jesus comes on the scene, he said that he comes to reinforce his Father's law. Not to change it, not to alter it, but to reinforce it. The law is the commandments that was revealed to Moses, according to the scriptures.
See,
but then you got the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the Torah, or be considered the Torah, the original book. New Testament came along later. And that's when, in Matthew, in New Testament, when it begins, that's when they introduce you to Jesus. And they tell you that he's better than all of the other prophets, all of the other ones who came before him. He's better than Moses, this one, that one. And that's when everybody get introduced to him. But then also, even in that, when you go into Matthew 24, and you go Matthew 24 to 25, he talks about churches. The disciples tearing down the church that they built in his honor. He talks about how many will come in his name and claim to be him, but they are not him. And he also talks about how his coming, or what they call his second coming, will happen in their lifetime, the lifetime of the apostles. This would have been, 2,000 years ago. The second coming, so forth and so on, he said, will come in their lifetime, something that they will see. A lot of people are reading this book like it's current, and it pertains to them now. And they're waiting for someone to come now. And this, according to the book, would have already came and went before.
Okay, Shy. Caller 716-901.
Yeah.
So, according to what he just said, you said that Jesus is coming back, right?
Yes, Jesus is coming again.
Okay. Well, that's a conflict right there. Somebody's saying that it already happened, and then you saying that it's going to happen.
Let me look.
So Jesus
When I'm referring to what Jesus coming again is at the time of Armageddon, so not to live as he did previously, but this is at the end, which we all keep talking about coming, but I'm referring to Armageddon, when Jesus is going to come again.
Yeah, the rapture. The rapture is not even in the Bible, but in Matthew 24, if you read Matthew 24 through 25, he talks about that, and he says that all of that will happen in the lifetime of the disciples.
Okay.
The Armageddon, the judgment, everything that everybody's talking about.
Now, you said the rapture is not in the Bible?
No.
Okay.
A lot of that came from slave sermons. Because you got to understand, a lot of this was introduced to our ancestors through fear. Like, most of people believe in Jesus because their slave master convinced their great-great-great that Jesus was all these things and that God was what they say God is and so forth and so on. Like, we have a slave interpretation of what God is and all that, you know what I'm saying?
So where did you
like
get
that's the same book that they used to enslave people with? You know, they had a ship called the Good Ship Jesus, and they told them slaves that they took from there that you should be thankful that Jesus saved you. That was that ride, you know, that they say happened across the transatlantic on the Good Ship Jesus. It gets real deep with all of that and how that goes, whatever, you know.
Caller 901, where did you get the rapture from? Where did you hear that from that made you say Jesus was coming for the rapture?
Me?
Yeah,
So
where did you get it from?
Revelation.
So it is in the Bible.
Yeah, that came after Jesus. That was written by, who was that? Was it John? Whichever one that came, like, that was like 200 years after. None of them books of the New Testament was even written when Jesus, the so-called Jesus, was even around. It was all hearsay from hundreds of years later. Like, none of those apostles from the New Testament even knew Jesus. Never met him. Only heard stories.
They wrote about Jesus, and they never met him, huh?
These are the same people who crucified him, the Hebrews and the Romans. Then they're the same one. It just gets weird when you get into all of that. With the, but it serves its purpose, though. You know what I'm saying? It keeps a person on exactly where they're designed to be kept at.
And where does it keep you? Where do you feel it keeps you at? Because for me, I found freedom in it.
Well, what's your definition of freedom?
So, yeah, and my freedom, my idea of freedom, like, what I got with faith was, like, so, like, of course, I fear things in life, but, like, ever since, like, I got into the Bible, I feel like I don't fear as much because I believe in the afterlife and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, like, this is temporary for me. So I get freedom in that. And then I also feel like the things I go through, because I have a higher power, like, I can maintain my peace in a sense. Like, I'm not, like, dealing with all the chaos because I have a peace and I have that connection when I pray that I kind of escape what reality is actually experiencing.
Gives you comfort.
And plus, with me foreknowing the things to come, too, I have peace because I know these things have to come to pass with the events that's going on now, which is mentioned in the Bible, the uproars of the wars, the shortage in food, like, these things were forewarned.
So hold on. So you saying that it's never been the uproar and war and shortage of food before?
No. This has been going on for
years.
This
always happened in American history.
Right. I mean, it's been going on for years, but I feel like...
centuries.
Right. I can't say, like, it's really the time I don't have to look at it again, but I just feel like... it feels more, because I wasn't even around years ago, but it just feels so intense that I feel like potentially it is reaching, like, it's getting closer, I would say. But I would have to watch for more events.
So you say it's getting closer. What's getting closer? What's this?
The return of Jesus.
Okay. What you think about that, Eulogy?
People have been saying that, you know, they've been saying that for a long time.
This is the end.
You know, preaching that to people, you know, selling fear and doom. But see, this is the thing, though. See, this is why, like, I don't knock it. Like, I understand how people need comfort. You know, this world is very chaotic. It's very hectic. So I understand people find comfort in a lot of different things, you know. And the Bible may be one. You know, it's scriptures, proverbs, different things in there that could be very comforting to people. You know, and I think that if that's what a person is seeking, you know, comfort from something, then, you know, if that's what helped them find their peace or their comfort, then so be it. I just don't think, you know, my issue with it is when people go out and they preach it like it's, you know, like it's really, really law, you know, and like... imposing it and projecting it on others, because others may have their other way of finding peace. you know, and it may not be in that, you know, it may not have anything to do with anything related to that at all, you know.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people, you know, they want to defend certain things, or, you know, they kind of fight for that different stuff, and it really don't need defending, you know. The truth mm-hmm. don't need to
right.
be defended, you know. And if a person's God is speaking to them, then it's going to speak to them. It doesn't have to speak to somebody else to speak to you, you know. Like, it doesn't even have to be a million translations or something, because if God wants to talk to you, God's going to talk to you in Chinese, Arabic, whatever language you speak. You know, it don't have to come through a piece of paper or a book. But people mm-hmm. believe in with the book, and the book becomes a form of idolatry. Because people mm-hmm. hold
yeah.
on to that book like that book is like, you know, like it's saving from vampires, werewolves, dragons, leprechauns, lions, and a bunch
yeah.
of other things that may be out to harm them. You know, my Bible, my Bible, my Bible, you know. And some, you know, stand on it, you know, to the point where they kind of do worship it. And then that gets kind of dangerous sometimes, because if you don't really comprehend the tool that you're working with, you can hurt yourself. You know, there's so many people that if you ask them, have they read the book in its entirety, and if they comprehend it and read that whole book in its entirety, a lot of people tell you no. They just go off of what they heard, what, you know, made them feel good from what they read. But for every scripture in there that makes you feel good, it was scriptures in there. Because you got to understand, it was a certain group of people that used these same scriptures to enslave other people and to justify enslaving them with these scriptures and to tell them that this was God's will and they need to obey it. You know, so that's when, you know, it could get very dangerous, because you're playing with people's, you know, what they would call like their spirit or their soul, you know, like where people are here, like they state of reality here, and when they're going after that, you know. And it kind of gave certain groups of people, like, they felt like they had no hope or no chance here. They could just hope for something greater later, and they all they get is hell here. You know, you got to kind of wonder, how could a slave and a master pray to the same God? You know, if constantly a slave and the master's praying to the same God, you're still a slave and they still master. And you got to question whose prayers are being answered. Like, how could that would be like, you know, almost like a parent, you know, letting two children, you know, abuse each other and never stepping in and setting shit straight. You know, like, hold on. This is the law of the house. There will be no fighting amongst my children. You got people waging wars in the name of their God, but they say it's all one God or only one God, or it's all the same God. Whether it's Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever name they put on it, they'll say it's the same God, but then turn around and wage war in the name of this God. And it's like, well, just come and set the record straight. Just like that. All you got to do is just, boom, change their heart, change their mind. It's very easy. Like, a lot of this could have been done away a long time ago. Like, you know, if you really want to get down to it, like, you know, God could have just snapped the devil away a long time ago. You know,
right.
Like, we wouldn't be going through this nonsense.
My bad. Now, you said God could have snapped the devil away a long time ago?
Yeah, you know, like Thanos. Snap.
Okay, now, what'd you say to that? What'd you say to that, caller 901?
They could snap him right now.
I agree. And I feel like
you said that it was a reason why he didn't do that. What was your reason why he didn't
do that? Yeah, it is a reason. So when Satan was casted to earth with his demons, the reason why all this wickedness do go on is because he has a short period of time. And none of us know that time. That's why, yes, year after year, people's like, oh, this is the year, but this is the year. But really, we don't know. But we do have events that foretell us what leads up to Armageddon. But he's not going to intervene until that time, which he knows the hour of when he's going to put Satan away and this is going to end. And that's why when people look to these presidents and things like as sources to really give the world peace, it's not going to happen from a human. It's going to happen when Jesus is ruler of earth and not Satan ruler of earth.
So would you say that anything that happens is God's will? Because they say, like, even in scripture, like, Satan can't do anything without God's permission. So would we say that everything that's going on, whether good, bad, ugly, or beautiful, is God's will?
Good, bad, and ugly.
Because Satan is God's will. is God's creation. Even Satan is a child of God.
But then, too, like, you know, I can interpret that, like, with the account of Job, when he allowed, in the account of Job,
yeah,
he allowed Satan to test Job. So, but
yeah.
I feel like God doesn't really, because God is a loving God to me, I don't feel like he would want us to hurt, but at the same time, usually pain is what brings us to him. So, I mean, it's not like, but I don't feel like he wants us to be in pain. Like,
That's what they told the slaves, that pain was getting them closer to God. That's why they gave them a deity of suffering that was beaten and tormented and that went through so much suffering and still forgave his enemies and loved his enemies, because that's the perfect slave. That's still why black people still have the position they have towards their enslavers to this day. They still pray about it, and these people still beating the hell out of you. And no intervention. That's like child neglect. You know, like if we put this in real life terms, like a parent that acted like that would be like neglectful parenting.
But you know what I should say?
And then
too,
we
got
to wait for our big brother to come save us.
We
like,
cause
damn,
the
Dad.
Pain and the suffering. Like, I don't feel like it's necessarily God's will, because we have choice. We have free will. So we put ourselves in the situations. I don't feel like it's necessarily all God's will, because we have free will as to why we do sin and do different things, because we are making decisions.
So we have free will, then why should we be judged for our free will? If we're given free will, why would we be judged for it in the end? And then to allow temptation to run amok, to gamble and bet, like, you know, God and Job, and he can go back and forth and place bets. So I bet you your servant isn't loyal. Well, I bet you he is. How much you want to bet? I bet you his whole family and everything he loves. Okay, let's see.
Like,
you know, when you think about these stories, though, a lot of it is this man created a lot of this stuff. That's why it sounds like the emotions of man. You know, like, place no God before me. We acknowledging there's other gods. But then it also sounds like jealousy. It almost sounds like narcissism. Like, it goes into a lot of different things or whatever when you kind of get into this, and you got to really question, like, who created who? Because man, you know, describes God with all of these man-like emotions and very emotionally unstable. Jealous, vengeful, wrathful, loving, like bipolar, like all types of things. Like the mental illness of man, they project on their God. Then they say they know their God's name. They know their God's birthday. Like they know all of these different things, you know, but they make their God a man. You know, oftentimes to justify the actions of man is what it really, really seems like, you know. And then there's some people who they take the good and loving aspects of it, and they become, you know, good, loving, and upright, you know. So let's say, like, in a perception, like how I said earlier, like the slave and the master. The slaves out-Bible the slave makers. Like, they did it better than the people who gave it to them. You know, they took all the positive, the loving, all of those attributes from it, while the other people took all of the wicked, you know, corrupt, you know, foul, heinous shit from it and used that to, you know, subjugate people and to do some of the most wickedest things in the name of God, where the people who were the victims of that, you know, they took it as, hey, well, I'll just love these people and I'll just treat them how I want to be treated. You know, I love thy neighbor as I love myself, although my neighbor doesn't love me the way he loves himself. It supports a lot or whatever, you know. But a lot of that, like I said, for some people, if it helps them find peace, so be it. You know, for some people, you know, they need more than that. You know, and for some people, you know, that may not get it for them or whatever, you know. So ultimately, like, that's just my position on it. You know, I think that if it helps a person find peace, you know, keep it that way. And then, like the white said earlier, you know, how you worship is your business. You know, it don't really have nothing to do with nobody. You know, like your you know, your preference, how you serve your God. You know, your sex styles, different stuff like that. Like stuff like certain stuff is private, and it don't even need to be made public. You know, I think that causes a lot of problems with people too, because they want to make certain things public, like, you know, flaunt it and be flamboyant about different things where, you know, if you got your peace and that's really what gives you peace, then, you know, you just at peace, you know. And
I also believe
that Bible will affect you.
I also believe they inflict their beliefs on other people. You know what I'm saying? Like knocking on people's doors.
Yeah.
Hey, here go the word. Hey, this is the word of, you know what I'm saying? But let me go to another caller real quick and bring another caller. Y'all can all stay on. I just want to get some more input on this. But y'all both are making some good position perspective.
All right, I'm going to mute out.
All right. Okay. Let me see. Caller 790-716-390. Let's go.
Hey, what's happening, man? I've been sitting here, man, dying to tune in. What I see happening here with the dialogue that's going on is I'm seeing people talk about the historical aspect of Jesus, and they blending it with the biblical aspect, meaning when you're talking about a situation like Jesus and you tell somebody that's unlearned and don't know the Bible that Jesus came to reinforce something, then if don't nobody check it, then the conversation is going to go like Jesus came to reinforce something when the word really say that Jesus came to fulfill the law, meaning he didn't come to reinforce. He came because they said he would come. He was from the lineage of Joseph only because they believe in divine intervention is what caused the Immaculate Conception. But if you don't know how to explain that, you're going to get lost. But you can't blend the two. History, like you said, Yoda Black, history is always going to be different. You're not going to find Jesus in no book. You know, when you defending Jesus, if you defending him biblically, you got to know the book in which you defending him on. You got to also know when they say the book was tampered with, they're not talking about the translation. The translation is talking about the language of the people. We're not even talking about that. They're talking about the tampering, meaning keeping scrolls out, putting scrolls in. So I understand you when you say you're going to stand on the Ten Commandments. But what you got to understand, you can't blend the two. History. You can't unless you know both. You got to be a scholar to do that. You know, because what it do is it confuses the masses. Because the sister is thinking that her biblical stance has been shooken when it hasn't. Because it's been attacked with weapons that shouldn't have even been shooting at that direction because it's two different things. You know, so in order to go at her like that, you would have to explain both of those things. Now she got equal knowledge to sit at the table. So I'm sitting here listening at the sister. She's struggling, but she with two dinosaurs of this thing. And I know the premises you come in, you leaving a whole lot out because other people should know and they should study like you. So they understand the level is going to be different, you know? Man, this was hard to watch, man. It was hard to watch because I'm proud of you because I know where you come from, and I know you come from a real place. You said something spiritually happened to you that made you believe the way you believe, so that means you a man that stands in your position and can't be shook. So when you a Christian or when you a Jew, you have to have the same stand you had, Yoda. Man, I'm sitting here like, look at my little brother, you know? And then you called to God. When I heard you call him Shy, I said, you called to God. So he going to have a different standpoint than, man, the unlearned ones. The unlearned ones ain't even going to understand the premise and the rock in which that man going to stand on. If
yeah,
they don't know where he's coming
about,
from.
I'm talking about the female when I said Shy.
I know. Oh, okay. I got that wrong. I went back in the mountains, my fault.
What that mean, though? Break that down.
I'm glad you let me in, man. It's a good show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you tuning in, man. This one is, you know, it's different perspectives. But overall, from my perspective, I was just saying that I believe that out of these 2,000 version that Bible was tampered with in some form or fashion to confuse people. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that they got
I do agree with that, man. I might have caught the middle of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, anybody in here, anybody ever heard of the Pioneer Bible?
I haven't.
Oh, that's new to me.
The Pioneer Bible, so the Pioneer Indians was a group.
Spell that so people want to research it, they can look it up. Just spell
Pioneer. P-A-N-A-R-E. But it'll come up if you put in Pioneer Bible. But there's a group of people from Colorado called the Pioneer Indians. And they actually, when they stumbled across these people, they wanted to take their land and things like that. These people, they had no concept of what sin was. So what they did was they reconstructed a version of the Bible that said that their ancestors killed Jesus and that Jesus was their ancestor. And so they had the right to wrong of their ancestors. So because their ancestor killed their ancestors, they now had to, right that wrong.
Okay.
Because they had no concept of what sin was, they had to tell them a story to get them to understand it or to convey it, but then to make them feel some type of way, to make it resonate, they had to tell them that somebody from their bloodline did wrong or did something that harmed someone else. And so they reconstructed this whole Bible and said that the Pioneer Indians were actually the ones who crucified Jesus.
Okay.
That's just one of the different versions of the Bible, but they did that multiple times with different people to get them to adhere. Like, missionaries had a lot of tactics in their little suitcase that they would carry, the Bible, the gun, holy water, certain things. But one of the things that they would do, exactly. But in order to convince these people of sin and to teach them what sin was, they had to construct a story and put them in that story to convey that message to them, for them to believe that. But
so
according to what everybody else knows, it was Hebrews and Romans, and it took place in a whole different other time or place. But they're telling these people that this happened over in Colorado, like North America.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You equate that with were they saying, like, the story of Jesus, it was multiple other stories, the same thing, like different?
Oh, that's just a book on that people could check out called The World 16 Saviors.
16 Saviors?
If you want to know, The World 16 Saviors. It'll go through all of the 16 Saviors and more who had same or similar stories, Immaculate Conception, Born on Christmas, Virgin Birth.
What?
You got Buddha,
what?
Mithra, Osiris, Heru, a bunch of different people in there.
Right. And that
that's
goes
one
from different people's interpretation. What that is cultural differences, but it all equates to the same story of the Virgin Mary and life after death and all of that type of stuff. But there's another story that say that Bible book was really the story of the white man, not the black man. So, they say the we in the book and the cassette is talking about the black man, the 24 scientists. So it depends on where you get your knowledge from and where you study at, what you're going to come up with, because I know
absolutely
a different story. I know my good brother knows. I know
absolutely
a different story.
Absolutely.
If I lived to be 1,000, I couldn't thank Allah enough for bringing Farrakhan into my midst and being a divine leader and teacher and raising from among us in our midst a divine leader and teacher and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him, And see, my understanding of the Bible is going to be totally different than a Christian's understanding, because my understanding
absolutely
of God and who God is different. I don't have a mystery God. I have a God that I know. I have a God that he's a man, he ain't no spook, so I come from a whole different hemisphere, but it take me too long to get you there. But I'm telling you, if you study the 120s, man, and you find out about a man called Elijah Muhammad, man, he'll open your eyes out, and you'll realize some of the other people that you know about and some of the researches you doing. The only reason that we looking at all these books, because he opened the eyes of the deaf, dumb, and the blind. And once he did that, he inspired people like Yoda Black to say, wait, there's more. So even if he ain't on this plane, he on the plane of knowledge. Ikra, that's the first thing that came down in the Quran. Read.
Hey, don't nobody know that. Don't nobody know the Yoda Black, but Yoda Black is a name that I used to use a long, long time ago.
Okay.
It used to say a lot of profound things under that name. That's why I know it.
A lot of profound things under there, Yoda Black. Nah, they was profound, though, Yoda Black, though. That's crazy.
Yo, you an example of a brother that say something and do it, man. You the one brother that did that. You did everything you said you was going to do. You made your own network, man. You got out. You did your own thing. You travel around the world. You take care of your family, and you honor your brother's name, man. I'm proud to call you a friend, brother. You know what I'm saying? So when I see your show, I recognize God.
Appreciate that, brother.
I tell you that, man. I mean that. I recognize God, brother.
Respect. Well, we winding down. We got 3 minutes left, man. Anybody want to leave any closing remarks? I appreciate y'all tuning in. When y'all done, I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. We got 3 minutes.
And I ain't got nothing to say.
Okay. All right.
No, all I say is keep your eyes on God, man.
Yes, sir. Yes,
my
sir.
Man.
Peace. All right. Anything? 901?
No, just thanks.
Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. All right. Have a good one. All right. Let the lesson be your blessing. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, as you can see, it's a lot of different perspectives of God, Jesus, the Bible, the scriptures, versions. But overall, we all believe that somewhere within that, it was perverted. Somebody use it as a tool of destruction, of confusion. You know what I'm saying? So with that, I choose to stay woke, and I choose to, you know, have my direct connection with what I believe, with the source of from where I believe it from. With that being said, tune in every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. The calling number is 515-605-9749. It's your boy Uno Self, formerly known as Yoda Black. Y'all ain't know about Yoda Black. Y'all probably knew about Sniper. You ain't know about Yoda Black. Yoda Black was around back then. But with that being said, I'm gone. I enjoyed y'all. I enjoyed everybody that tuned in. And I'll see you next week. I got a dope topic next week. So tune in. We're going to get it in. We ain't going to stop. So.
Much problem with me so-called friends. Problem with the girl I love. Only for them we said them know back on. Them never know the place I was. People we know the real struggle me feel. A people like Creed and God. This music beat is like a battle to me. So much fucking hatred and grudge. But in the midst of all his enemies, Jah you keep me firm and strong. Bad mind and jealousy just get me peace. Jah you keep me firm and strong, yeah. Give me the energy me need. Jah you keep me firm and strong. And really keep winning by enemies, yeah. Jah you keep me firm and strong, yeah. Strong already. Strong already, you know. Strong already. Strong already. Strong already, you know. Me no friend with the media. Everyone already know. Some people can believe everything them keep on TV. Everything them hear on radio. Them see you with your thing, I need them one. Them plan up how we take it from you. God now go back to farm, my gun me drop. Empty I'm a keep on you. But in the means of all his enemies, Jah you keep me firm and strong.
Bad mind and jealousy just get defeated. Shall you keep me still, my son?